gentlemen, Ed Bozeman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, shall not God avenge his elect that cry to him day and night? It is written, I say unto you, he will avenge them speedily. It is written, wheresoever the body is, there will the eagles be gathered together. It is written, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? It is written, if I go, I come again.
For God is just a prayer away.
And he spake a parable unto them to the end that they ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge who feared not God and regarded not man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came oft unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest she wear me out by her continual coming. In the cross of Christ I glory, towering o'er the wrecks of time. All the light of sacred story gathers round its head sublime. When the woes of life o'ertake me, hopes deceive and fears annoy, never shall the cross forsake me, lo, it glows with peace and joy. When the Sun of Bliss is beaming light and love upon my way, from the cross the radiance streaming adds more luster to the day. Bane and blessing, pain and pleasure, by the cross are sanctified. Peace is there that knows no measure. Joys through all time abide.
For God is just a prayer away.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message from Luke 18. Avenge me of mine adversary. Jesus told a parable that men ought always to pray and not to faint. He said, there was in a city a judge who feared not God nor regarded man. This poor widow came and besought him to avenge her of her adversary. This is a prayer that every Christian needs to pray every day. Lord, avenge me of mine adversary. Because every Christian, from the most astute scholar down to the grade school dropout, must deal with the same adversary every day. Peter identifies our adversary in the 5th chapter of his first epistle when he says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And that adversary has devoured many. He especially likes to devour liberal scholars who do not believe in the authority of the Word of God. In fact, he has swallowed many of them whole. And it always gives him a bad case of acid reflux. Avenge me of mine adversary. Jesus also advised to pray always. Now, we can always pray on our bed like Hezekiah, who, hearing that he would die, turned his face to the wall and prayed a prayer that went right through the plaster, took a right-angle turn, and went straight up to God, and his prayer was answered. Pray without ceasing. Avenge me of mine adversary. You can always pray like Hannah, who prayed without words. She merely moved her lips. They thought she was drunk, but God read her lips, and she had a son named Samuel. The list goes on. You can pray in the wilderness like Hagar. You can pray like Paul and Silas at midnight. You can pray like Peter on the housetop. You can pray like Jesus on the mountaintop. You can pray like David in a cave. You can pray like Simeon in his old age when he found the Lord as an infant. You can pray like Stephen at the moment of death. Pray without ceasing. You can pray a short prayer, like Peter. When he tried to walk on the water and began to sink, he prayed, "Lord, save me!" The Lord lifted him up. Then while he and the Lord walked back to the boat, the other apostles were singing in victory. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. And remember, if Jonah could pray in the belly of a whale, you can pray anywhere. Pray without ceasing. Avenge me of mine adversary. If the Christian prays always, he has a pretty good shot of having his prayer answered. Because Jesus said, if the unjust judge granted her request, how much more shall God avenge his elect who cry to him day and night? And yet he is long-suffering over them. But remember, even the unjust judge answered the prayer of the widow only after a while. Sometimes the Lord, who loves us, will answer our prayers after a while. We may have to wait a little while, like Elijah prayed for rain on the mountain and had to pray 7 times before he got it. Pray without ceasing. Avenge me of mine adversary. But the Christian has the advantage in prayer because he is one of the elect, one of those who has been predestined to go to heaven. Many in various groups religiously believe in predestination. Everything in life is a part of God's plan. One woman told me she believed in predestination so much that she believed what will be, even if it never comes to pass. Ladies and gentlemen, I too believe in the doctrine of election. It works this way. God votes for you to go to heaven. The devil votes for you to go to hell. And then you cast the deciding vote. If you cast your vote for the heaven party, you will win the election by a landslide. As long as there is a whosoever will in the Bible, I have something to say about my salvation. Peter said on the day of Pentecost, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Pray without ceasing. And then Jesus made this statement, but when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? We may wonder why Jesus referred to his second coming when he was telling us to pray. And then we look back and note that when Jesus told this parable in Luke 18, it was the continuation of the speech he was making in the 17th chapter about unbelief of the world in the last days before the second coming of Jesus. When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Pray without ceasing. In view of the return of Jesus, we can pray, avenge me of mine adversary. Regarding the second coming in the previous chapter, Jesus said, For as the lightning, when it lighteneth out of one part of the heaven, shineth unto the other part of heaven, so shall the Son of Man be in his day. You know, when we see the lightning, there's always a clap of thunder that follows. Peter says, The day of the Lord will come as a thief, and the heavens will pass away with a great noise. The elements being on fire will melt with a fervent heat, and the earth and all things therein shall be burned up. That great noise that will be heard must be the sound of celestial thunder that will attend the lightning fast return of the Lord. No wonder, he said, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Pray without ceasing. Avenge me of mine adversary. The day of the Lord will come as Jesus promised. That day when the sun is turned into darkness, the moon into blood, the heaven removes as a scroll, the stars falling from heaven as a fig tree casteth her unripe figs when she is shaken by a great wind, and the Lord shall descend with a shout, the trumpet will sound, the dead in Christ raised up, the death swallowed up in victory. No wonder Jesus said, When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Pray without ceasing. Avenge me of mine adversary. So the Lord instructs us by comparing the days today with the days of three individuals then, Noah, Lot, and Lot's wife. Regarding Noah, Moses said, And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, and the earth also was corrupt before God. It is the opinion of the advertisers that Americans are a people who think evil continually. The shows on television, the porn magazines, are specially made for people who are spiritually and sexually depraved. In addition to this, the world in the days of Noah was filled with violence. These words give us some insight as to the spiritual condition of the people in the days of Noah. Violence and corruption is also the characteristic of people today just before the Lord's return. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. When the Son of Man shall come, will he find faith on the earth? Pray without ceasing, avenge me of mine adversary. Note also the people of Noah's day had in common with today in their lack of faith in the Word of God. God told Noah, I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh. He told Noah to build the ark. And Noah believed the Lord. While Noah built the ark, he built it holding the Bible in one hand and a hammer in the other. Aside of his own family, he did not see one convert to his ministry. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the day that the Son of Man shall be revealed. Next, he talked about the days of Lot. As it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. Both Jude and Peter give us some insight. Jude says, Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, going after strange flesh, are set forth an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Then Peter says, Lot was vexed with the filthy lifestyle of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Whenever you read of the city of Sodom in the Bible, everybody knows what made them famous, or infamous, whichever the case may be. And remember Jesus said, The same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. The moral fiber of people in both cases had been shredded and had disintegrated. Lot was vexed by the lifestyle of the Sodomites, yet he did not seem to be in a hurry to leave. The angel took him and his wife and two daughters by the hand to lead them out of the city and said, "Escape for thy life." Sometimes the church seems to linger in evangelism when they should be crying out to the world, "Escape for thy life." There seems to be a sense of urgency in the invitation as the terms of pardon are laid out. Escape for thy life. In most congregations, the emphasis is on making the assembly feel comfortable and full of self-esteem and inspired instead of being troubled with their spiritual life. Escape for thy life. On this broadcast, we continue to sound forth the fire alarm. Escape for thy life. We remind you of the terms of pardon laid down by Peter on the day of Pentecost. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, that ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The message should come through loud and clear. Escape for thy life. As it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days when the Son of Man shall be revealed. Pray without ceasing. Avenge me of mine adversary. And then Moses mentioned Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Now what can we remember about this woman? Remember her because she is lost for all eternity in spite of the fact that she was a member of the saved community. She was personally acquainted with Uncle Abraham, yet she was lost. Remember Lot's wife. Remember her in spite of the fact that she was married to a pious husband. Years later, Peter would call him Righteous Lot. But she could not ride to heaven in the coattails of Lot. Remember Lot's wife. Remember her because she entertained heavenly visitors in her home. Two angels spent the night with her family, and yet she was lost. We also have entertained a heavenly visitor. Many a person who has received the gift of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit has fallen away. Remember Lot's wife. Remember her because she looked back from behind. She was leaving Sodom, but Sodom had not left her. Many a person who has come into the fellowship of the Church of Christ left the world, but the world was still in them. They looked back from behind. Remember Lot's wife. As it was in the days of Lot's wife, so shall it be when the Son of Man shall be revealed. Pray without ceasing, avenge me of mine adversary. As you read this account, someone might notice that the Lord did not mention the sins listed in the Old Testament. His comment on the conditions of the last days regarded some things that don't appear wrong at all. Jesus mentioned such things as the fact they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. Then again, how about what he said about buying, selling, planting, and building? What is wrong with any of those things? They're all necessary. What's wrong with marrying? What's wrong with planting? If the farmers don't plant, then we are all in real trouble. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with buying and selling? I'd hate to think that I went to the supermarket, I wouldn't find the place padlocked and could neither buy nor sell. What's wrong with buying a house or a car or selling such things? Nothing. Then why did Jesus bring it up? There are two reasons. The first reason, Jesus went back to the days before the flood thousands of years ago, was to show that the nature of people has not changed. They ate, drank, planted, bought, sold, married, given in marriage, and then they committed the same sins that people do today. People haven't changed, whatever the conditions may be. They were on a collision course with destruction, and the world now seems to be on a collision course with hellfire. The reason Jesus mentioned these things that are all right in themselves was to point out the fact that these ancients were just like us today, in spite of all our advancements in science. I read a sermon one time preached by Martin Luther in the year 1522, in which Luther predicted the end of the world was coming soon in his day because they had advanced so much in knowledge. He said, "Look, we have invented the printing press and have invented gunpowder. The only difference now and in the ancient world and in the days of Martin Luther is the fact that all of our learning and inventions have taught us how to kill each other quicker and with greater dispatch. Man himself has not changed. The good things we have now as well as then have not changed. They thought, let the good times roll. They will never end. They go on forever. Nothing can stop it. My house, my car, my family, my money, my sports team, my television programs, my movies, my job. This is a sum total of life, and it goes on and on endlessly." And then one day, surprise, surprise, the flood came in Noah's day, and the fire fell on Sodom. The twin towers fall. Americans get antsy for a few days. The biggest sin of all in both cases was greater than all their violence, perversion, and corruption. The greatest sin of all is that they, like us, lived with no preparation for eternity. When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Pray without ceasing. Avenge me of mine adversary. Ladies and gentlemen, there's one statement that Jesus made regarding Lot's wife that needs emphasis. And he said it 6 times, twice in Matthew, once in Mark, twice in Luke, and once in John. Jesus repeated this statement more than any other statement that he made while on earth. He said, "Whosoever shall seek to gain his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what shall a man be profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Jesus concluded his message on the second coming with these words, and he said unto them, "Wheresoever the carcass is, wheresoever the body is, there will the eagles be gathered together." Eagles seem to be a generic term for buzzards, since the eagle does not eat dead meat. Wherever you find a dead body, you will see the buzzards gather together. The lesson of Jesus on the buzzards is clear. Whenever this world becomes as morally rotten, putrefied, and stinking as it was in the days of Noah, Lot, and Lot's wife, that condition will draw the judgment of God. At such a time as that, just look up, and by the eye of faith, you can see the buzzards making lazy circles in the sky over the rotting carcass of humanity. How long can God endure the stench, the foul odor of a drug-infested, sports-crazed, sexually perverted, violent, pleasure-mad world? It is in days like these that Jesus referred to when he said, "When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Pray without ceasing. Avenge me of mine adversary." Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul's salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition, tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.